This is Made for You by All Souls, a church in Seattle, Washington, seeking to be a community not just for ourselves, but a vibrant expression of who God is, gracious, present, hospitable. Take a moment now to come as you are and bring your attention to God.
I'm so sorry you were so alone. I'm so sorry you were so alone. These are words that many of us at some point wished somebody could have said to us, someone else to recognize and move toward us in our loneliness, to be near to us when we didn't know who to call or who to ask for help. For some of us, this experience of aloneness happened when our parents divorced, or when a good friend died, when we didn't get picked for the team, when we started over in a new place. For some of us, this time of year heightens that loneliness, that sense of being alone. There are people we will all miss today, even now as we may be glad to be in a room full of people. The most terrible poverty, said Mother Teresa, is loneliness. A woman deeply familiar with poverty in its many and extreme forms says the most terrible poverty is loneliness and the feeling of being unloved. That is the deep darkness Isaiah in our reading earlier was speaking into. The people walking in darkness, tired of being estranged from home, have seen a great light. Those living in the land of deep darkness, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. 8 hours, 25 minutes, 25 seconds. That's the shortest day of the year, the length of time it took for the sun to rise and then set on Thursday's winter solstice. Heavy fog blanketed Seattle most of Thursday for much of that day. But then, daylight, do you remember it? The sun broke through and a hopeful solstice sunset cut through the fog and lit the ripples of the Puget Sound, sending them dancing in a peaceful rejoicing. Tomorrow's day would be longer, the night shorter. It's the imagery Isaiah is using. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of deep darkness, upon them light has shined. Cutting into the deep darkness of loneliness is this crazy, beautiful promise. A child is given. Not just any child. God gives himself to us. God as a child. God is becoming one of us. God is coming to make his home among us. God's presence with us, the very opposite of loneliness, is given. God, like the warmth of mom coming for a visit and brightening the home. God, like the joy of a hug from a dear friend you haven't seen in a while. God, like Mother Teresa at the bedside, I'm not going anywhere. The very opposite of loneliness has come into the world, God making his home with us. I love the imagery in this poem by Prague-born poet Rainer Maria Rilke, who writes, and this is a poem, so hang in there, let these words pass over you. God speaks to each of us as he makes us, then walks with us silently out of the night. These are the words we dimly hear. You, sent out beyond your recall, go to the limits of your longing, embody me. Flare up like a flame and make big shadows I can move in. Let everything happen to you, beauty and terror. Just keep going. No feeling is final. Don't let yourself lose me. Nearby is the country they call life. You will know it by its seriousness. Give me your hand. Who is it that takes your hand? Well, we learn from Isaiah that he is a wonderful counselor. Have you ever had a good counselor, a therapist, anybody? I mean, maybe you don't want to raise your hand now, but you know what I'm talking about? It's pretty amazing. They ask the best questions. Good counselors don't just dispense answers, they help you to discover them. And I think it's significant that the first thing we have a record of God saying to Adam in the book of Genesis is a question. Genesis, if you aren't familiar with it, is the first book at the beginning of the Bible. It describes the beginnings. That's what the word Genesis means. And the main point is that God made everything good, like really good. And humanity was meant to enjoy that goodness with God. But humanity also ends up trying to keep it for ourselves, on our terms. And not for that person either, but for me and mine. And all this just makes a mess of things. Loneliness is introduced by us into creation. And right after making a mess of things, you'd think God would have some like choice words, right, for the first humans? But surprise, it's a question. That durable, trusty tool in a counselor's tool belt, a question. And it's a locational question. Where are you? God knows the answer. He knows Adam's hiding in a bush, but like a good counselor, it's not about the answer, it's about the discovery of the answer, the journey of the answer, take my hand and let's go together kind of stuff. And first, God wants to discover with Adam where he is, alone, hiding, feeling vulnerable. Not to shame him, but actually to give him the very opposite, a promise. A promised child that will come. And in the meantime, God's faithful presence to remind him he is not going to end up alone. God won't stand for it. That deep darkness of loneliness will not remain. Friends, I want you to hear this and discover this in the story that is unfolding in song and readings and prayers and candles and the people around you tonight. Let's not bury the lead. Here's the point. You are not alone. God became born into the realities of this world to assure you of it. Someone recognizes and moves toward you in your loneliness. That someone is a wonderful counselor. And he has this beautiful question for you. Where are you? Where are you? Far from God? Far from hope? Far from home? The story of Christmas is that God comes to us as one of us, to make his home with us, to give us a household in each other, and in effect says to us, give me your hand. The very opposite of loneliness is here. Home with God is here. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Hallelujah.
Our Christmas Eve service is composed of readings and songs. We might consider this evening a type of musical theater. We are retelling the mighty acts of God. We are rehearsing the wild and wonderful story of God, the story of God who comes to dwell with us. In theater, the addition of music often deepens awareness to the storyline. Music can reveal emotions, foreshadow events, and explain actions. A dramatic event has occurred, an event that needs to be pondered. The Holy Spirit comes upon, and the power of the Most High God hovers over a young, unknown Jewish woman. in a working class neighborhood on the outskirts of the Roman Empire. A woman with no wealth and no status says yes to carrying the Son of God into the world. Her belly swells with life, the life that is the light of the world. Soon she will bear down, and the bearer of God's never-ending kingdom will appear. As the drama unfolds, Mary gives us a song to pause and reflect on God's action, a song to treasure God's story in our hearts. Mary sings of the God who saves. God has saved, God will save. A new chapter of God's saving work is beginning through the seed that is growing in Mary's body. Her story joins a bigger story. The God Mary rejoices in is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah. The God Mary proclaims is the God who is compassionate and merciful, patient, full of great loyalty and faithfulness. The God who Mary magnifies is the God who rescued Mary's ancestors from slavery in Egypt, who blessed her people so that they might be a blessing, who committed to always be their God, who promised to come. A new saving work is beginning. The light cloistered in Mary's womb will dispel the darkness. The light cloistered in Mary's womb will make all things new. The light cloistered in Mary's womb will save me and will save you.